Let's take a look at what's happening in this market trade. A lot of influences, a lot of prep as we get closer to a Friday WASD. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Darren Fry joins us today with Water Street Advisors. So let's jump in there because I think there's a lot of excitement that's building around this WASD report because we've had lack of information up till this point with the government shutdown.
Yeah, we sure have. We've had no information for what? I don't know. We're on day 40-some being shut, something like that. And obviously, we didn't have an October WASD. We've missed really the window for the November, and now they're going to come out with it a few days later than normal. I'm not sure how they're collecting all the data because typically, you know, they go to the field and look at things. I don't know what the USDA has done to alleviate any of those mishaps as far as data collection or erroneous information because they've been off. And I know President Trump called them back in to do this report. So I'm not sure of the accuracy, but I would say a lot of people are looking for smaller numbers, especially on the corn, maybe not so much on the beans, but definitely on the corn. And we will get, we will be enlightened, Susan, on Friday when these numbers come out and we'll just see where we're at. But the trade acts really good. You know, corn acts good, soybeans act great, even wheat starting to come on a little bit. So I think a lot of that is optimism around some of the negotiations that Mr. Trump and Mr. Chi had and some of these guaranteed bushels they're going to buy, supposedly, which nobody's seen any detail or framework, but they're going to happen, you know. And so if they do happen, I would imagine that's what's supporting the market.
Do you see, I mean, obviously we're had a lot of data coming in the sense of conversations that our growers had from the combines. Do you see or do you expect any big surprises to come in Friday's numbers, starting off with corn?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean, anything could be surprising out of the USDA, these WASDE reports, you know, how stocks reports are when they report those. But I would expect a big shock would come in January when they get all the surveys back from the farmers. And just like last year, that's when the big shocker came when the yield was less. But, you know, our anecdotal information coming from our growers, and we have growers across the whole Midwest and a lot of them that work with us, we basically heard disappointments all year long on the corn. Were there a few new records on corn? Yes. There was places in Minnesota. There was places in Iowa. There's places in Illinois and Indiana said, it's a new record for my farm. So did that happen? Yes. But I would say that was not common. What was common on 80 or 90% of the reports was, hey, I sprayed twice with fungicide. My yields are 10 bushel off of last year. And I sprayed once with fungicide. My bushels are 25, 30 bushel off of last year. And this is last year being that record yield that we had across the nation at 179.3. So we heard a lot of that. And then we heard people didn't spray at all. And especially in Iowa where disease was heavy with all kinds of diseases, four or five or six diseases I found when I was on the Pro Farmer Tour. Those yields were off 50, 60, 70 bushel from last year. So I'm hard-pressed to believe the corn yield's bigger than last year when it's all said and done. But we'll see what the USDA says on Friday, at least for the November WASD. If I could continue to elaborate here on the soybeans, I know I'm talking a long time, but on the soybeans, we heard a lot of less disappointment. Some people were disappointed, but I would say there's a lot more of like, hey, our beans are just a few bushel less than last year or on par with last year. Or even, you know, some record fields, and in some cases, some record farm yields. I mean, I've heard guys say we're 5 to 7 bushel over our best year ever. So, you know, I could believe beans at 53.5, although I think we're going to be closer to 52 when we're all said and done. But if anything's going to put in a new record yield, it's going to be beans, in my opinion, not corn.
You know, you and I were talking before we started the reporting, and you talked about corn kind of being that sleeping giant, per se, in the marketplace. Kind of explain a little bit more on that.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's from a supply standpoint. I know we don't have any deals with China. We're not going to get a deal probably with them on corn. If we get anything, it's going to be the fulfillment of what we hope the beans will get to, you know, export to them. But, hey, they're buying some wheat. I know they're buying some wheat. They reported that. They might be buying some more wheat. They usually just don't buy a little, they nibble and they buy more. And so, hey, these grains are cheap and soybeans have been cheap. Could corn get bought, I guess, but what I'm looking at more is the supply side. And you know, obviously, if we're thinking that the trade's thinking 184 and a half or whatever, and we end up at 178, maybe even lose some harvestable acres. I don't know if that's possible by January, but let's say we did. You know, you could have a pretty big reduction in our supply side. And we know exports have been great and grind for ethanol has been good. And, you know, the energy markets are trying to turn. That's not going to be negative to bean oil or to corn. And so I'm just looking at and saying, hey, domestic demand, export demand might be a little bit better even without China than what people are penciling in. And then you get a smaller crop. That could be the sleeping giant. And, you know, corn at $4.50 is not expensive compared to beans at $11.50. You know, beans have rallied $1.50. Corn's rallied 30 cents. You know, so corn could be that sleeping giant that wakes up and moves to $5.25. And really, it needs to, Susan. If you look at next year's, you know, 26 corn at $4.70, I don't think farmers are going to be excited about planting unless it's over 5.25 the way costs have been. And so are we prepared to lose 3, 5, maybe even 6, 7 million acres of corn next year if we don't get those December Christmas corn of 26 up to 5.25 by 5.50 when we come into, you know, February? So I think corn's got some ups here for different reasons. Probably not the same as beans, but definitely because of supply and needing to get the, you know, price up to plant the acres.
Well, and you look at obviously the whole trade world we're in as well. That just has to underpin some concerns for growing in 2026.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we've had really good weather. Do we have a weather problem that complicates things next year? I have no idea. I rely less and less on weather because it can be so far off from what we're expecting. But, you know, certainly, you know, the war still going on, Russia and Ukraine, no peace there. That's a breadbasket. And then, of course, you know, the weather has been somewhat sketchy in the northern part of Brazil. I mean, the monsoonal rains have not really gotten started on time or even consistently yet. And so, hey, that might not make for a bad bean crop, but it might make for a little bit later safrinha crop and maybe a problem in the safrinha crop. And that's such a big crop nowadays. And remember, Brazil is building ethanol plants like candy going out to kids. You know, there's a lot of it being built. They're using a lot more domestic corn. They're going to have less exportable corn. It keeps our exports strong. And, you know, that's all going to bolster a better balance sheet for corn.
Let's look at this cattle market. If anything has had a huge struggle bus, it has definitely been this cattle complex. Has a top been put in place, do you think?
I think there's a better than two-thirds, one-third chance we have a top in place. There's still, we did stop this bleeding at the very place it needed to stop here about 3 days ago. So if you look at January feeders, and that 310 area is a very important area. Back in the February cattle, the 215 area, we stopped there. But we got to see how this rally unfolds. If it unfolds impulsively and we go right back up, well, we haven't made the highs. But if we chop and slop and it takes 2 or 3 weeks to get an ABC wave out, a three-wave count, and we only get back up to, you know, 235 in FATS, 238 in the Fed FATS, we only get up to 350, 352, kind of fill in the gaps, and then we fail, I think we have a top in place. This might be the rally to sell if you're not hedged. And we're watching really close day by day. But, you know, that 14-15 cattle market topped out in October. People didn't think it was going to top out in October. They thought it'd top out in February of the next year. And I was kind of talking that way, too. We're going to stay strong, you know, demand strong, you know, fundamentals are tight, the supply's tight. This whole thing with the Trump administration, not to open a can of worms for the listeners, but, hey, you know, there was some unpolished words used there when he talked about taking credit for how good the beef people have had it lately. It's not true. But the fact that he was talking about getting consumers their prices down, that is what's really negative for, you know, our feed yards and our calf and cow and calf guys. So if we see him fall through with what he normally does, and then as he says something, he goes for it, he pushes price of eggs or whatever down, this could easily be a top. And so I think on this rally, you know, back up to 350 Jan feeders, you know, 235, 238, something like that in February cattle, guys got to be really, really defensive.
Unfortunately, it looks like some headline chasing will still be a part of this market for the near term, at least.
Oh, yeah. That's what's driving it. And that's what's so dangerous and big limit moves. And, you know, it's really hard to play in the futures markets. You know, we've been doing a lot more with options where kind of know what your risk is. But big moves, and a lot of times when you get this volatility and gaps in the chart, you are in the process of making a top. So guys better beware if they have inventory that needs to be hedged.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Darren. Darren Fry joining us today. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.